We begin, though, today with the concept of cloud computing. Of course, you're familiar with it. We talk about it all the time on Federal News Radio, and lots of resources about it at federalnewsradio.com. But until now, most folks have concentrated on the IT aspects of it. Patricia Sigmund is thinking about the HR and hiring aspects of cloud computing, and she is a distinguished thinker, founder and president of LPS Consulting, a technology firm that works with small to mid-sized organizations on a number of issues. And Pat is my guest today to talk about hiring cloud thinking professionals. Pat, I appreciate your time today. Thanks for coming on the program.
You're very welcome.
Are most folks who are hiring in this environment, in a cloud environment, thinking about cloud as just something that the IT shop does?
Oh, no. I shouldn't have answered so quickly. I don't know about most folks, but it's across the board. It isn't something that's concentrated in IT. I think more and more owners and privately held companies, when they face the fact that they have to do these things themselves, they look for it in new hires.
The things that companies do and that organizations do when they're hiring folks that are going to be working in the cloud, what are they doing well and what are they struggling with right now?
Well, a lot of the, let's say, marketing-based things and LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook and things like that, the companies are, it's like everyone's all over the place. They're not quite honed in on what needs to be done. Who they need to hire and what skill set they need to have. The financial departments are a little bit different. If a company has someone that they have faith in, that they've been using for a while, as an accountant, a controller, a CFO, whatever, more likely than not, they're doing for a privately held small to mid-sized business, they're doing a lot of cloud-based things, even though that might seem like the last place you'd be doing it. They're paying things online, mm-hmm. doing online banking, online bank reconciliation, transfers. Everything is cloud-based, where before it used to be very paper-oriented.
We have your piece, How to Hire Cloud Thinking Professionals, linked up now at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Now, in it, you write a couple of things that accounting and financial management professionals should keep in mind when they're hiring people. What are some of those things, the most important things?
Well, I ask people to describe, you know, how they operated in their previous jobs and about online banking experience and paying everything online, paying things with credit cards or transfers or international banking fees. You know, there is a place where you can get stuck with a lot of fees if you don't know what you're doing or you don't know how to look. Online paying, you can pay things at the last minute and still get the discounts if you're doing it properly online. Working with, you know, all your forms online, online payroll, paying subcontractors, expense payments, human resource systems that are online, that are interactive, that are cloud-based, direct deposits, all of these kind of things that aren't stacks of papers in someone's drawer anymore.
What are the hardest things for the managers to kind of process when it comes to that and then applying those thoughts to the hiring process, envisioning how the person who works for him or her, their job is going to change or is changing?
Yeah, one of the most difficult things is if you have someone who doesn't have these experiences, you don't have a manual telling you what you're going to do. It's so interactive that you almost have to do it yourself in order to tell someone else how to do it. So when you're hiring someone to do these tasks that are now very cloud-based, you know, if you don't have the right fast-thinking type of person, they'll be looking at you as if you have two heads, like, well, I don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might be thinking to yourself, well, if I wanted to do it, I'd do it myself. I want you to do it. Like, it goes around in a big circle. You have to have the type of person who can, you know, reach out, learn new skills, learn new ways, not get bogged down with needing more instruction and needing more direction. It's very fluent and changing and virtual, and what you knew yesterday isn't what's happening tomorrow.
So mm-hmm.
you can't really have a manual ready to go for a new hire.
Are there clues that you see on somebody's resume, though, that indicates that they may be open to, that they may be a fast learner, that they may be open to new kinds of experiences, or are you really looking for the experience doing what it is that you want somebody to do this new way?
I look for someone who has the experience in and they're doing new things. Like I was just involved in hiring a CFO for a company, and one kind of person had lots of different softwares, and I knew the name of the software, and they were a lot of them were modern. Some of the features were cloud-based and very online-based, and some of the software was very old that someone else had that hadn't changed in 20 years. You're looking for someone who has modern adaptability, that they are not stuck in 20 years ago.
Yeah, that concept, I think, is interesting because it's not an age thing anymore. It used to be that when you had somebody come in for an interview, you could base what you thought you were going to see in somebody age-wise on what was on their resume, and that's not really the case anymore, is it?
No, and it's sadder than ever in some areas because you have to be so adaptable, and, you know, you can have the best experience, but things change. There's a lot of change. It's all technology-based, and, you know, if you're afraid to get your hands in there and roll up your sleeves and find out how to do these things online, well, you know, what are we supposed to do? Someone has to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to hire someone that isn't afraid of doing these things. And when you interview, you can ask them, you know, how do you pay your own bills at home? And, you know, do you use LinkedIn? And all these kind of questions that kind of trigger, even if they haven't done it in their previous job, whether they're adaptable kind of people.
You mentioned LinkedIn, and I wonder what the intersection is in what we're talking about cloud thinking professionals and the social media world. They're not one and the same, but there's some interaction, I imagine.
Yeah, it's just ease of technology, learning new things, connecting in a different fashion. People that don't act like that are more fearful of it, and certainly you have a certain type of person who, you know, who would lick a stamp and put everything in an envelope, and you have another type of person who would immediately go online to do something, and that's what I'm talking about. It's proficiency, change, someone who's into modern things and not stuck in an old-fashioned environment. There's no time for that anymore.
Yeah. So the degree to which somebody's Facebook page is built out isn't as critical as just the idea that somebody's obviously comfortable working in that environment where another candidate might not be.
Exactly. And it certainly isn't about Facebook or whether you're on these things.
Right.
My 28-year-old son is not on those things, but he's extremely computer literate.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the people with 20 years experience that you might want to hire, now that tells a story. If they're not, you know, it's not easy to get into all these different websites where you have to file things and pay things. And if you're going to be doing that all day and it takes 3 and 4 hours instead of 15 minutes to do each one, well, that's a problem.
Patricia Sigmund is my guest. She's founder and president of LPS Consulting, a technology firm that works with small, mid-sized organizations. She's writing How to Hire Cloud Thinking Professionals, that piece linked up now at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And she's also author of the book Six Steps to Creating Profit, a guide for small and mid-sized service-based businesses. Want to talk more with you about what the tech support people maybe should understand about the non-tech people when we come back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
Hey Eagles fans, tickets to All American University men's and women's basketball home games in Bender Arena are on sale now. Get them online 24/7 at AUEagles.com or by calling the Athletic Ticket Office at 202-885-TIXX. That's 202-885-TIX. Make your plans now to be part of another historic season in Bender Arena. Catch the Eagles' next home game Saturday, January 14th against Holy Cross at 2 p.m.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Facero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, nutrition, dietary supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources at myvillagegreen.com. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
Navy Rear Admiral retired Elizabeth A. Height, Vice President, U.S. Public Sector Cybersecurity Practice, HP Enterprise Services, on the Cybersecurity Combating Threats to Our Software Environment panel, sponsored by Hewlett-Packard.
We look at applications and software development from an architectural view today. At least we should, because quite frankly, it's so much easier to design security in than to find the thousands or tens of thousands of vulnerabilities that might exist in that software at a later date once deployed.
Could your IT security have made you less secure? Traditional IT security defenses, firewalls, encryption, and intrusion detection systems are extremely effective, and that's the problem. They're so good that the bad guys are now training their sights on a new target: exploitable vulnerabilities in software applications. HP can help governments secure mission-critical applications by designing security in from the beginning, finding the vulnerabilities inside existing software, and fixing them quickly and cost-effectively. To learn more, visit federalnewsradio.com/HP.
Tom Temin here with a preview of tomorrow's Federal Drive. New rules from the White House for how agencies write new rules. We'll speak with Cass Sunstein, Chief of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. And the world would stop short without electronics, and electronics would stop without solder. We'll hear how the government backed a form of solder that's earned millions in royalties. Those stories and more tomorrow morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, hour number one of In-Depth with Francis Rose for today. Hiring employees that are comfortable in the cloud. It's important on both the government and contractor side of the federal business world. And my guest today is writing about that very subject. Pat Sigmund is founder and president of LPS Consulting. She's author of the book, Six Steps to Creating Profit, a Guide for Small and Mid-Sized Service-Based Businesses. And she is also author of the piece called How to Hire Cloud Thinking Professionals. That is linked up right now on federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Pat, I appreciate your time this afternoon. Thanks for being on.
You're very welcome.
The tech support side and the non-tech side sometimes in an organization can kind of be at war with one another. What should the tech folks know about what the team that they're dealing with on the other side can and can't do when it comes to working in the cloud, working through technological things?
It's very interesting because tech person one is not tech person two, coming from a tech company. There's a lot of tech people out there that are not even cloud-based thinking, which is interesting. I mean, that don't have an up-to-date view of cloud-based technology, and so they are the worst kind of people to be helping others get involved with things. In fact, they might sort of sabotage it. They'll be talking about in-house systems. So it's very difficult in this kind of transition period to be talking about IT people as if they're all one and the same. They're not. But given that someone is open and thinks cloud-based thoughts, when they deal with someone who's not that way, that's why I talk about proficiency on the Internet and familiarity with the Internet and being able to do things online. When you deal with people that are that way, of course, it's much easier. When you're dealing with people who are not, it's almost like, should they be in that job? because you just can't have someone become proficient with the internet and at ease with using cloud-based technology when they're not that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost impossible. And I've just experienced myself that where you have something that you would do if you're that way in 10 or 15 minutes, and you'd have every step of a task with someone who's not proficient in that, no matter what their age is, and they might take 3 and 4 hours and hit all kinds of glitches and do something wrong, which requires getting it reversed and all these awful things. And it's really about proficiency with computers and software and the internet. And so, first of all, you have to deal with a person that's like that when you're using cloud-based technology.
Are there cues as to looking at the skill set of an employee that you already have that maybe hasn't yet demonstrated an aptitude for this kind of thing, but may have those abilities?
Definitely someone who, let's say they are self-trained, self-teaching, that kind of person is much more able to pick these things up. If you have software and someone's going to use the software, now we all know these kind of people, one person might need a training class, might need to study for days. Another person just goes right in there and does it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That says it all. You know, most of the software that's sold, there is no training classes anymore. I mean, you can go on YouTube and see videos, and you can look at e-learning and learn software that way. But in the olden days, people would go for a week-long class on that kind of thing. So, you know, right there you see the tempo that the person has and whether they're able to pick things up quickly or if they're fearful. And you just get the gist right there as to whether this person has the aptitude at their time, this time in their lives and their career, mm-hmm. to do these tasks.
The most critical thing that I should know as a manager of an organization that maybe is transitioning from traditional-based applications to a more cloud-based environment is what, Pat?
Well, you still need strength and stability in the product you're using. Just because you want to be in the cloud doesn't mean it's good. Doesn't mean it's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are you getting it from? Is it licensed? There's a lot of free stuff out there, and, you know, is it something that has, like, a tech support line? Should something be wrong? I mean, you don't want to have maybe all of your employees using, say, a time and billing software program that has no support and maybe has, you know, 50 users. You need to do the same due diligence testing that you would as if it's being installed in your office.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the common mistakes that folks anywhere on this continuum are making, whether it's the employees themselves, the managers of the managers, the HR people that are helping to cull through potential candidates? Where are the problems in this space?
Well, again, I think the problem is about stability and respected software and products that you're using. If you're going to back up all of your company data, you're not going to use an in-house system anymore. And, you know, Joe Blow backup company is doing it for you in the cloud. Well, that doesn't sound too trustworthy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you need to go, and I would go where the volume is. Go where a lot of other people are,
mm-hmm.
and you know, Google it and everything else, so that you're using a stable, strong company. You don't want to call one day and have, you know, the phone not being answered or have all your data gone. You need to be as, you know, careful with a choice here as you would when you're buying something to install in your office.